Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, good day, everyone, and welcome to All Talk with Jason Hoyt and Mike Minogue. Very good to have your company wherever you're listening to us around the world. And I can say, Mike Minogue, I don't know about you, but I like to try and visualize my audience. And for me, for some reason, I always envisage or visualize my audience lying in bed listening to our podcast.
The entire audience.
Yeah, the entire audience.
All of our listeners, all of our listeners in the one bed.
In the one bed listening to us, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
And I don't want to infer by saying that, of course, that... you know, there's something sexually orientated in my visualization there. I'm just merely pointing out that that's how I see it. I mean, a lot of them are naked.
Yeah.
But once again, it's not a sexual thing. Some of them are wearing 90s.
Any of them got shoes on? Because I hate that.
No, no one's got shoes on.
Oh, that's good.
One guy's wearing jandals, which sort of annoys me a little bit. But I like to get a sort of visual idea of what my audience is doing when they're listening to our podcast.
All my audience are driving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
nice.
They're not all in the one car. I imagine them separately. And they've just got a small smile at the edge of their mouth.
Yeah, nice.
And then, oh, a dog's run out in front of the car.
Oh, God,
And then crashed into a wall and, another listener down.
Do you visualize them, because you say a small smile on the corner of their mouth, but is there the occasional staccato burst of laughter, perhaps?
Yeah, there's an occasional guffaw.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, sure.
Because you were saying that you were listening to it the other day and you laughed out loud a couple of times, which, believe you me, mate, when you're doing this sort of thing is no mean feat.
Well, but you know, you and I, we both get really, really stoned before we do these. You know, we've got the bucky bongs.
Yes.
You know, we're going pretty hard on it.
I tell you what, your spotting form at the moment is just outstanding.
Thank you. Too often people catch the edge of a knife.
Yes.
And then you're trying to push it back into the middle. It drops on the floor. It's smoking on the floor.
All that goodness is going into the ether.
Oh, get down there, suck it. Then you try and suck it, and then the whole thing flows up into your mouth
and burns
down
your tonsils.
It's not good. So anyway, we're so stoned, like right now, that when I listen back, I can't remember anything we've said.
Yeah.
At all. So I'm always surprised by what we talk about.
Well, you know, we have a producer that fixes the podcast for us, and he emails us and says, you know, what about blah, 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 and I've got no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Did we say that?
Yeah, I assume he's just sort of making shit up emails. Yeah.
That'll be good. Run with that.
Yeah.
Just to paint a bit of a picture where we are at the moment, we're actually in a hotel room today, aren't we, Mike?
We've treated ourselves to a weekend away, haven't we, mate?
Yes. Yeah. Well, you see, when you said that, I thought separate rooms, but no, it's just the one double bed. I believe you've posted a few pics on the Insta.
Just
to give people an idea of what's going on.
Up on the Insta. We're
at the Quest Hotel, and I tell you what, mate, there's nothing like hotel living.
What city are we in, mate?
Christchurch, I believe.
Kia ora.
Which is interesting because you've said to me you've only been down here a couple of times.
Yeah. I think once I drove through it.
Yeah.
And the other time I was doing a bit of work doing my first aid kits door to door.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And we came down here for that. But I've got no knowledge of Christchurch. Like, we went out yesterday, didn't we, and had a look around. I had no idea where I was or what was going on. I don't know if we're in the middle of town or the outskirts of town or.
In your defense, though, mate, I mean, I've been down here probably 10, 15 times. I still have no idea what's going on.
Right.
And Christchurch seems to be in a constant state of flux.
Mm.
They say there's always abandoned buildings 11 years down the track from the terrible earthquakes, and it's moving very slowly down here, mate.
Yeah, well, I was talking to a local last night, and he was saying that when he grew up here, and he's moved away now, he said that the middle of town would be rammed. You know, there'd be people all over the place. But because they had to do the rebuild, everybody's now moved out into the suburbs.
Into the periphery.
And so you've got your bars that are out in different suburbs and restaurants and things. So it's not that, you know, people just aren't flocking together. So last night, walking back to the hotel, there was a guy that tried to persuade me to get a Lime scooter. I said I was fine.
Yes.
And then maybe 10 or 15 seconds later, I heard him scream out, "Who's
who's got marijuana?
Right.
And I thought, what a great way to try and find drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because often I'm very secretive about it.
Mm.
You know, you're sort of using different apps to make sure that it's encrypted so nobody's going to find out.
Sure.
Or, you know, you're saying, hey, can I get a few scoops of chips off you? That sort of stuff.
Yeah, I've got you. Yeah, yeah.
Code. But this guy's just standing in the middle of the road screaming out, who's got marijuana?
Well, I think what obviously happened there, Mike, was that he saw the state of your eyeballs and went, this dude, he knows where it is. He knows where it's at. And so you sparked something in him and he thought, God, I've got to get some of that.
And he didn't want to ask me directly.
No.
He goes, this guy's got marijuana, but I'm going to say, who's got marijuana? Very tricky, but I didn't answer.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because in many respects, you know, going to buy drugs is very similar to asking your partner if you want to have sex.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is...
You almost wanted to say no?
Well, what I mean by that is you don't ask directly, do you?
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't go, well, you might, I don't know, I haven't ever asked you. You don't say to your wife, would you like to make love?
Oh, no, you don't say that.
Do you want to have sex now?
Fancy a shag?
Yeah, would you like a root?
Yeah.
You don't generally do that.
No.
You go around the edges of the idea of that.
How do you sort of tiptoe around there? Imagine I'm your wife.
Yes.
Of 25 years. Look at me.
Mm.
And let's just do a little role play.
Yeah, well, funny you should say that. For me, it's not an oral thing.
Ah.
It's a visual.
Right. You get your little knobbly knees out.
Yeah, well, I sort of recline on my couch in a certain way.
Yeah. And now you've got that massive sheepskin.
Yeah. Often I'll light a fire, which is usually a good sign.
Just in the corner of the room?
In the corner of the room, yeah, and I put the sheepskin down in front of the fire, which and she definitely knows something's going on there, especially when I'm lighting a fire in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, that's...
And especially because there's no fireplace, you're just doing it on the rug.
Yeah, it's just like a natural sort of homemade fire.
Yeah.
But yeah, I might undo a few buttons of my shirt, maybe show a bit of chest.
See, now, so often people do that. They go from the top to the bottom, undo a bottom. I go the other way.
Mm.
I undo from the bottom up because I've got no chest to speak of, but I've got quite a nice belly button.
Yeah.
And my wife goes mad for a good belly button.
Oh, so interesting.
I just open the curtains down below.
Well, I wondered if you ever considered the idea of, because, you know, you've got your trackies with the rip in the back there.
Yeah.
Maybe undoing that rip in the back there and just sort of waltzing around the house like that so it's flapping open, giving her bursts of your buttocks.
Yeah. I mean, I could swing them around the front.
Yeah.
And I do have that, actually, because, you know, occasionally I look down and old mate's hanging out.
Yeah.
Which is why. Interesting story, actually. So you remember we had a conversation about not buying each other presents
for
Christmas.
Oh,
And I got my wife quite a nice ring, actually. But she didn't know about that. Anyway, I get a gift on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
What is it? Pajama pants.
Interesting.
Now, what does that say to you? Because I immediately burst into laughter.
Yeah. Well, what it says to me, Mike, is that she prefers you to wear pants.
Sure.
Were they buttoned? I mean,
I don't think they have any fly on them whatsoever.
Okay, so
I have to
just
pull down
sheath.
The waistband and hoist my CMB over the front.
Which is never a good look, too, because it gets squished.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right. Sort of.
It looks like a hedgehog caught in a sort of a water grate or something like that.
That's right. And they're also, the ones that I've got already are stripy. And the ones she's bought me are stripy.
Yeah.
The ones that I had are blue. The ones that she's got me are blue. So when I saw that, what do you think that said to me about her opinion of the ones that I've already got?
Yeah.
What do you think she
thought? Well, it suggests to me, and call me crazy, it suggests to me maybe she's not a fan of those particular pajama pants. You because you did mention the fact that, you know, there was a lot of stains on them. A few cigarette holes, a few spot marks.
Sure.
You can see a little bit of blood on there, which you could never quite figure out.
Yeah.
Mind you, you do shave your legs, though, don't you?
Yeah, well, I do, yeah. Just around the pubis and the...
Yeah.
You know, it's weird, isn't it? Just on the upper thighs there, you get the pubic hair on the thighs.
Yeah, I don't really.
So I clear those out. You don't?
No.
Hmm.
I just have an enormous pubic nest.
Right.
And interestingly, the top of my thighs... just for the audience's gratification, is quite smooth.
Oh, same. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And I think that's just from jeans rubbing all the hairs out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it is, but it's probably the smoothest, nicest skin I've got on my body.
Yeah, same here, weirdly enough. Uh-huh. Now, just to go back to the point that we are in the hotel room, of course.
Can I go back to the point about my wife buying me this present?
Yes, please do.
Now I've laughed.
Yes.
Now, if you get given a gift by really anyone, but particularly your wife, you probably shouldn't laugh.
Yeah.
But she said, "What's so funny?" I said, "Well, you know, I didn't know I needed new
another pair
pants.
Of pajama
as well,
pants."
I said, "It sort of just tells me that you don't like my other." Oh, it's not that. You know, it's just the other ones, you know, hasn't got a fly on them. You know, the buttons come off. I was like, "Well, you know, you could have just sewn a new button on, saved yourself, you know, $8 on this new pair that you've got me
from the warehouse."
And she said that, no, you know, it wasn't a comment on the state of my existing ones, but rather she just thought maybe I'd like some nice ones, which is a comment on my existing ones.
Well, it is, really, isn't it?
And
it's very much along the lines of, you've got your almost you're going out pajama pants.
Or and people are coming over
people are coming over pajama pants.
My going up to the service station, the dairy to get some chocolates.
Those sort of pajama pants. And you've got also your stay-at-home pajama pants, where you're not leaving the residence. There's only the family that sees you.
Sees the state of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. What did she think of the ring? Did she enjoy it?
She was a big fan of the ring.
Yeah, good.
Well, she didn't laugh.
Yeah.
Which I take as a win. She's
I'm just amazed that she didn't.
She's pawned it.
Well, I was going to say, I'm just amazed that she didn't throw a bit of a tanty that your present clearly outweighed her present in terms of gravitas, in terms of financial output.
Yeah.
Because my wife, you know, if we say, oh, we'll just buy each other something small, excuse me, and I go extravagant, she doesn't like that.
No.
I mean, she'll secretly...
No, she likes it.
She likes it. She loves it. But she won't let me know
she likes it.
What I'll get from her is rage.
Rage, the fact that
I spent so much money on hers and she only spent like $3 on mine.
Yeah, that's right.
It makes her feel cheap.
Makes her feel cheap.
Yeah.
But she has been, really, because she hasn't bought you something nice.
Yeah, exactly.
She
would have made me something.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You know, they say that, don't they? You know, that actually if you make something for someone, it means more. But if that's the case, just make sure it's small so it fits in the bin easier.
Yeah.
Because that's where it's going.
You don't want a big homemade thing.
Yeah, I actually had, and you know, I hope she doesn't listen to this, but she made us a sort of a thingy out of for a, you know, I used to live out at a beach, and she made that. And I really appreciated the effort.
The thought
could not be faulted.
Yes.
And but it was quite big, so I said, look, we'll just leave this here for now and I'll pick it up at another time. And that was actually the driving factor in me selling that house and moving away from the beach.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to have to.
It was such a horrendous present.
Well, look, I don't want to go into exact details, but it was a fucking disgrace.
Yeah.
It looked like a 3-year-old had made it.
Yes.
And then stomped it.
Yeah. Hey, so we're in Christchurch, and I'll tell you why we're in Christchurch. We're about to do a broadcast tonight, the Black Clash.
The Black Clash, mate.
Mike Minogue, live to the nation on TV1. And, you know, I don't know about you. A lot of people ask me, what's it like when you're preparing for a situation like this? You did the one in the Hawke's Bay last year, so you've had a taste of it.
Yes.
What was your thoughts? What was your... Were there nerves beforehand? Talk us through it.
Well, you know, I hadn't been with the ACC very long when we got that call up. I think I'd probably done 2 one-days against Bangladesh. So I was, quite frankly, shocked to be asked. And I don't mind letting myself down. I don't mind disappointing myself and having self-hate, but I didn't want to let down the team.
Yeah, sure.
So we did a bit of prep, didn't we? Came up with some ideas and things. But I just sort of thought as well at the same time, well, look, they know what they're getting. They've heard the ACC. They know what we do. And I'll be damned if I'm going to change just because, you know, there's some 7-year-old children whose parents don't know what kind of commentary they're going to get.
Yes.
And if they don't want to hear people, you know, discussing CMBs and how they lost their virginity and all that sort of thing, or maybe they shouldn't be listening to the national broadcaster, you know, at sort of 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, why should I take any blame for that?
You really took us over the edge there, didn't you? And because Matty Heath and I, of course, being more experienced on that front, purely, not better or worse than, just more experienced.
Yeah.
We knew the audience we were dealing with, and you just plunged us over the top immediately. Yeah. You know, I remember doing what I thought was quite a poetic introduction to the audience, and then segueing harshly to you talking about CNB.
Yeah.
You know, and I could see Matty wincing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, dear. And I could visualize was all those grandparents out there sitting in their lazy boys and Mike Minogue talking forcefully and passionately about his CNB.
Yeah, not just mine, but also who might have the biggest one. You know, maybe the captaincy should be determined by size and girth.
Yes.
Length and weight. You know, I think if you put a man's penis on a scale, you really get to know what you're dealing with. I think the optical illusion can be deceptive depending on the size. We've talked about this at length.
Yes. And you talked about it at length in the broadcast too, didn't you?
And you know, the complaints did roll in.
Mm.
So, you know, I've sort of been told that I have to bring it back a little bit this year.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they know what we did last year.
Well, it's interesting you say you've been told to bring it back because I was speaking to Don, you know, the technician who runs the whole thing, and he said, is Minogue doing it this year?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, he is, actually. And he went, ah, shit, walked off.
He goes, is Minogue doing it this year?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but and interestingly, they've actually added a new dimension to the broadcast, which we didn't have in previous years. The mute button, which I found interesting,
right?
So that they can mute us at any time. So
I noticed only my box had that.
Yeah, well, I noticed that too. Actually, there was only the Mike Minogue mute button, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, well, it will be interesting because if I see that mute button's lit up, I'm going to go a wandering. And I'm going to go wandering and sort of be leaning over and grabbing your mic, and I'll be grabbing Heath's and anybody else's that's anywhere in me, you know.
Yeah.
But it's pretty exciting, mate. It's can I say it's an honour to be invited to commentate such an esteemed sporting event?
Well, it's historic, isn't it?
It is. It's all the old sportsmen in New Zealand.
Yes.
And some people that have never played any sport in their life get thrown out on the field.
Against very fit, healthy young rugby players, generally speaking.
Well, exactly. Current All Blacks versus old players.
Cricketers, yeah. So it actually evens the field a little bit, quite frankly.
Does.
And let's not forget, of course, the players generally arrive the night before the match.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of a player do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, on that, like last year there was one.
Yes.
We had a lovely accommodation there at the Craggy Range.
Wasn't
and all the players came round and bloody hell, there was all sorts there. There was your Graham Henrys and your Aaron Smiths and your Stephen Flemings and your Muralitharan and your Jay Awardeners. And, geez, you and I were looking at each other and thinking, get these fucking losers out of here.
I just wanted to have a rest at that point. I like to have a little afternoon nap.
Wank. Oh. You
know, well, that too, but, I mean, not in the lounge. And Craggy Range was so lovely.
It was.
It was such a beautiful location.
It was.
I just wanted them all to fuck off.
Blah, 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 sports, blah, blah, blah.
And you know what really pissed me off about that? Mm. They ate all the cheeses.
They did.
You know what I mean? We had this great variety of cheeses in the fridge. And those bastards came over and just hoed into
it.
And they left
all.
And just, you know, there's the odd little segment of cheese left.
Yeah.
But the rest, they just scoffed.
Yeah.
And they drank all the wine.
Really, they're just a really entitled bunch of guys.
Yeah, well, of course.
But yeah, that was interesting. So they came around. Then there was the dinner afterwards that night.
Yeah.
We went well into the night. So this year, I said to you guys, well, what's the guts with tonight with the dinner? Well, you know, where are we going with the players and all that? And was told, no, they're not doing the dinner this year. All the players are coming in today, the day of. And well, that makes sense. Well, I'm having a look at my Instagram. That's bullshit. They were all here yesterday.
Yeah.
They went out playing bowls and on the – so that we've been completely excluded from that this year.
What a pack of assholes. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, obviously last year there would have been – you know, maybe there's some bad blood when you did come storming out of your bedroom and, you know, sort of screamed at everybody, look, I'm trying to get some sleep, guys. You know, I've got a big day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Huge day, commentator. I just need you guys to get the f*** out of here.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, you know – pretty embarrassing for the rest of us.
Yeah, well, I was naked as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that made it a bit more awkward.
Yeah, and you had one of those sort of those hand towels hanging off the end of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was aware that I was naked. I was trying to, you know. But because it begs the question, doesn't it, that, you know, we were at the Craggy Range and they all piled over, ate all our cheese, drank all our wine and stuff. Oh, here we are at the Quest. All of a sudden, oh, there's no shows.
That's right.
We're not invited to their do.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that they were lavished upon being the professional sportsmen that they are. No invitation for us, Mike Minogue.
Exactly right. And so you sort of think to yourselves, you know, these idiots don't understand the power that we've got.
That's right.
You know, so we're going to be... You know, we're going to be there behind the microphones while they're out there on the field. We can either help them look good
yes.
or make them look really, really bad.
I know what direction I'm going.
Well, absolutely. You know.
Well, it doesn't really matter to you because you're usually focused on C&B. And so it's going to be left to Matt Heath and I to probably go down the road of destroying their careers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I'll just be probably rating them, you know.
You'll be what them?
Rating them.
Oh, rating. Okay, that's good. No, that's good.
1 through 22, about biggest to smallest and all that. I've got some, you know, I've got some scores to settle.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Some of those guys, you know, thinking they're great guys because they've, you know, represented the country in various sports. I mean.
Well, I saw the great Geordie down at the cafe. Geordie Barrett.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he's a rugby one, eh?
He's the rugby fella.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big unit. And, you know, Geordie and I have had a few conversations over the years and I went down to the cafe on the corner there and I said, Geordie, g'day, Geordie, how are you? And he went, whatever, Hoyt, and just walked off.
Really?
Yeah, man. What a bastard.
That is unbelievable.
You know, and so if I'm going to hoe into Geordie tonight. I mean, commentary-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, commentary-wise.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I mean, verbally.
Yeah, yeah, do
verbally,
that.
Verbally, let him know. Because it is a big broadcast. It goes all across the nation, apparently, mate.
Well, yeah, it does. And, you know, at last check, there was probably, what do we got in New Zealand? Probably 4 mil.
Yeah.
Is there about 4 million in New Zealand?
Well, that's
about?
Not to assume, of course, that all 4 million people will be
no,
watching
I think
the broadcast.
They are.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's had a chat and they're all going to watch it, which is pretty supportive.
Yeah,
of
that's
us.
Great.
And then, of course, there's 25 million in Australia.
Australia?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, it's going straight into Fox Sports, are taking it. Taking it live.
Right.
And direct. So that's an audience of 25 million. So we're looking at 29 million.
Right.
Know? So
right.
29, 30 million. That's a lot. Like, what's the most you've ever broadcasted before?
18?
People.
Yeah, well, that's for the ACC.
Oh, yeah.
Generally, we sort of fluctuated. The needle fluctuated between 18 to 50.
Yeah.
Sometimes we crack 50.
Yeah.
But
well, this is more than that.
Yeah, 30 million.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's a lot. And of course, Fox Sports goes into all the islands.
Oh, so it's going across the Pacific, is it?
Pacific as
God,
well.
God, it's like a virus.
Yeah, it is. It's spreading.
Yeah.
It's spreading from Christchurch.
It's not going into Europe, is it?
Well, not yet.
Okay.
But, you know, if things go well, and I see no reason why they won't, because if we do the kind of commentary that we're talking about, where we're just ruining people.
Yeah.
You know, that'll probably get some coverage on the news all over the world.
Oh, I can see it being on CNN.
Yeah.
MSNBC,
perhaps. Well, now that there's no Trump.
Yeah, well, now exactly. Now that there's no Trump, they need that kind of controversy.
Yeah, exactly.
Some guy who was broadcasting to 47 million people talking about a CNB.
Yeah, that's right.
On live television.
Yeah, that's right.
That would be great. I mean, to be honest, mate, that will make your career.
Yeah.
Because
one way or the other.
One way or the other, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even if it goes the other way.
Mm.
You could be one of those pariah-type characters.
Yeah.
You know, that's the outlaw kind of guy broadcasting. You could probably find an audience there.
18 to 50?
18 to 50
yeah,
Trumpians.
Yeah, yeah. How do you go with do you like when you're going into a big broadcast, you know, you're sitting there, you know it's live.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, you know, you've got no second chances, Jason. I mean, it's okay for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't care. It's okay for Heath.
Yeah.
Because we're sort of the colour commentators. But you're doing the ball-by-ball analysis.
Yeah.
You know, if you're stuffing it up, you're doing all the throws, you're coming back from ad breaks. There's a lot
am
of
I?
Ad breaks.
Am I doing all that?
Yeah.
Didn't realise that.
Well, you went out for a durry.
Oh, right. Is that what happened?
And Don was there and we were going, no, probably best if Jace does that.
Oh, okay.
And so you're doing that. And so, you know, there's air breaks, I think, every couple of overs or something. So you got to get it right.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to stuff that up.
No, because you won't be asked back.
I'm doing that, am I?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what, for 30 million, let's say, round it up.
Okay.
So, because for me, if I was thinking about that, I'd get really nervous. Because I get quite tongue-tied.
Yeah, yeah,
I start
Ballsing it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Falling over your words.
Red, yellow, red, you know, all that stuff. Yep. I get that all messed up, you know, trying to do my voice exercises.
Yes.
And then I start doing that on air. Because I do that to warm, you know, you do it as well.
Yeah, yeah, red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather, yeah.
We've got our exercises that we do, and then what I find is, because I'm so focused on not buggering it up, that I start doing my vocal exercises on air.
Yeah. G'day, New Zealand. Red leather, yellow leather, red leather. Hope you're doing okay out there. Great to have your company. Yeah. Look, I what I tend to do is, as we said at the beginning of the podcast, I visualise my audience being naked in bed listening to me.
Oh.
You see, that relaxes me.
Oh.
So I imagine that
the,
they're just...
What if the sheet comes back and someone's got a really huge donger? Well, and you go, oh, and you lose your train of thought.
Well, I just turn away. But I visualise myself sitting on the corner of the bed and they're just lying there peacefully, serenely, calmly, and I do my stuff.
Yeah. Well, what's your stuff?
Well, you know, my patter.
Oh,
you know,
that
my
stuff.
My chat.
Yeah.
And they just drift off to sleep.
Oh, nice.
Peacefully.
Well, look, mate, I'm really looking forward to it, I've got to say.
Yeah, it should be fun. But listen, we've got to crack into our listeners out there, and we've had a couple of people. Oh, any updates on Captain Nancy?
No, she hasn't got back to us. I'm worried that she's been thrown in the brig, or that they've found out somehow, or what. I don't know what the guts is, but fingers crossed that she hasn't been shot. Of course, there's Captain Karen, who I got back to and said, look, we want all of the money.
Yeah.
Or we're going to have you put him in front of the firing squad. We're going to knock you out, and she hasn't got back either.
So that may have happened.
That may have happened. And then what about the hotel living? Is there anything there that you'd like to talk about?
Well, you know, I don't know if you're anything like me. I love hotel rooms.
Yes.
I love the anonymity of it.
Yes.
I love the uniformity. The uniformity of it. The fact that you've got the television in the room, you can just throw your clothes everywhere, throw your towels all over. I just love it, Mike.
Well, we're doing this podcast from my room.
Yes, it's immaculate.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It really is immaculate.
Yeah, and, you know, it took me about an hour to clean up this morning to get it to the state, in all honesty, you know, because what you do is, it's amazing how quickly you can make a pigsty out of a hotel room.
Oh, totally.
Like, I open my suitcase, I unpack it into the wardrobe, sitting over there, and yet there was shit everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened.
Yeah, no, I understand.
So I've given it a tidy up. One thing that does annoy me about a hotel room is that, like, you come in, you go into the bathroom, and you've traditionally you'll have your bath mat.
Yes.
You'll have your two towels, and you'll have your one hand towel there. And I just feel like they could save time just by taking the hand towel and just putting it beside the bed.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's going there.
Yeah. It's going beside the bed. Yeah.
I'm going into the bathroom, I'm grabbing the hand towel,
and you're putting it on the side of the bed. Yeah. I tend to... Well, it's interesting because I always bring my own box of tissues, and instead of the hand towel, I have a box of tissues by the bed just in case, you know, during the day or night, you know, I have get a bit of a cold on or something like that. I just like to have the tissues there.
A runny one?
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, I'm like that. And it's amazing because you. And it's terrible. It's a terrible attitude to have the people to come in and clean up after you.
Yeah.
You know, so I just tend to toss shit everywhere.
Yeah. I make it as hard as I can for them.
Yeah. Well, apparently what they prefer is once you've done the shower and all that sort of stuff and you're leaving, just to leave all your wet towels and your hand towels.
On the roof.
On the roof, yeah. Or in the middle of the bathroom, apparently. That's what they prefer.
Yeah, or if you've got a bathtub, in the bathtub.
Can I just tell you, if I'm a cleaner and someone's got a hand towel on the side of the bed, I'm not touching it. I'm certainly not touching
it. Just if you're a hotel cleaner out there, just be aware of that. One thing that does annoy me in a hotel room is how they have those signs up saying, hey, look, just help us out with the water. Like, we're really concerned about water wastage.
Yes.
So, you know, if you can use a towel, hang it up, let it dry, and then reuse it. You know, don't just, you know, use multiple towels, and we're really concerned. It's like, you don't give a shit.
No.
If you gave a shit about the environment, you wouldn't have those tiny little shampoo bottles and tiny little bars of soap in the plastic wrapper, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You're just trying to save time and money
for
yourself. So let's call it what it is. You know, you lying, deceitful. I just don't know who they think they're fooling, Jason.
Yeah, well, exactly. Mind you, having said that, I'm a big fan of the little body washes and things like that.
Oh, yeah, no, I take them all in.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, especially if you don't use them.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better, you know, because I don't know if you find the same thing, Mike. There's a certain resentment from your partner, you know, knowing that you've gone away, you've been staying in a hotel room, living the life of luxury and stuff.
The life of Riley.
So I like to get those little soaps, those little body washes.
I got you something, babe.
Yeah, I brought you something, my love. You open up your toilet bag, chuck them out there. I mean, it does help to calm the waters and ease the resentments that they've been feeling about the fact that you've been swanning in a hotel for 3 days.
Well, that's right. I mean, last year when the wife found out that I was staying at Craigie Range, not happy.
I remember that, actually. I remember you saying, because I used to sort of eavesdrop on your conversations with her.
Yeah, that's right. We were sharing a room.
And you were very much downplaying it, weren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all right, babe. Look, it's adequate.
The pool's a little bit cold for my liking. Yeah,
a bit nippy.
She's a bit pretty tepid. So this time around, you know, the fact that she knows we're staying at the Quest, you know, her spirits have lifted. So that's good.
That is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tricky one because when you go away and you know, like we were talking about, we're going to go for a flight in a helicopter with the great Richie McCaw later in the afternoon. Mm. I can't tell my wife that.
No.
Because I know that if I tell her, you know, or that we're going to a, you know, we went to a five-star restaurant last night.
That's right.
I can't tell her that, Mike.
No.
Because that will just, you know, bring that whole resentment level up.
That's right.
I mean, it's tough enough when you've been away, going home and fitting back in anyway without her having a raging resentment about the fact that you've been living the life of Larry while you're away.
But this is the thing. It's work, mate.
Yeah, that's what I say.
We don't enjoy it. You know, do you think I want to go and eat, you know, five-star food instead of the slop she's serving up?
Yeah.
Well, you know?
And it's like, you know, if you're going to complain about it, why don't you just take a moment to check the bank balance?
Exactly.
And then they do, and they see you've had a couple of massages and stuff like that, and you've been to a strip club. So don't
pays
do
for
that.
Itself. Trip pays for itself,
you know,
usually.
I can get that money back.
Yeah.
You can just
claim
it back
as an expense. Yeah. Exactly. So when you're saying, you know, like I'm going on a – do you think I'm actually enjoying going on a sightseeing trip in a helicopter, which I've never been in before and probably cost thousands of dollars if you wanted to do it yourself, pay out of pocket, but we're getting it for nothing to look around Christchurch and the Port Hills.
With the great Richie McCaw.
As been flown by the greatest rugby player of all time. Hopefully he's as good as a helicopter pilot as he was a rugby player.
I'm hoping so, mate.
Do you think I want to do that?
No.
When I could be sitting in my hotel waiting for, you know, 12 hours between when I wake up and when the game starts? I mean, that's the stuff I like, but I've been forced to go out and do this promotional bullshit.
Yeah, well, look, it was like last night as a classic example of the sort of shit you have to put up with all the lads going to the strip club. I don't want to go to a strip club. But they drag you in there and you just go, for God's
next
sake.
Next thing you know.
My wife was like, oh, you went to a strip club. And I went, I didn't want to go to a strip club.
You think I wanted to go?
God almighty.
It's team morale. It's team building.
You know, and what goes on tour stays on tour, so I probably shouldn't have told her that.
No.
But she tends to go through the accounts anyway.
Right.
Just to sort of, it's a great way of tracking what's going on.
Well, you know, and that's what you said to me. Like you guys, you know, being far more experienced than me, you guys always said, always get cash out.
That's right, mate.
Always get cash out.
Yes.
And that is key because then, you know, there's a real, you know, you can have a little bit of mystery involved, you know. You just like
well, that's
to have your readings or, you know, ideally you get your per diems.
Well, that's right, but we didn't get any this time,
did we? No per diems.
Well, it was interesting because I remember the first time you flew with us and it might have been down to Wellington perhaps, and as soon as we got off the plane, we all went to the money machine.
Yeah.
And we were getting out all that cash and you go, what's this about? Why are you getting out so much cash? And we said, Mike, you'll learn.
Yeah.
You'll understand soon, mate.
That's right. Yeah, and so it proved.
Yeah.
You know, you don't sort of realise that you're leaving this trail of destruction for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's breadcrumbs. Oh, they're really the little grenades that can destroy your relationship.
Absolutely. And another little tip too, you know, when you're away in this situation, just make sure when you're packing up your bag that, you know, you've got...
No, don't pack your dirty rubbers.
Yeah. And, you know, make sure all the clothes in the bag are yours.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that gets a woman's ire like discovering in her husband's bag a pair of panties.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, and then you have to make some sort of weird, embarrassing sort of, oh, I was wearing them.
Yeah, that's...
You know what I mean? Just to sort of cover for the
fact
that...
You know me, babe.
Yeah, I was
I'm a sicko.
Yeah, I was just having a bit of fun.
Yeah.
In the hotel room by myself.
Just me and the boys.
Yeah.
Dressing up in ladies' undies.
Yes.
And flicking each other with, you know, towels.
Exactly. Mm. So whilst it may seem very glamorous to be going around in hotels, there's a lot of pitfalls, mate.
How many people do you reckon have jerked one out in the hotel room?
I don't even want to think about. I don't even want to think
it's
about
it. It's in the hundreds at least.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Every single man that stayed there, probably.
I'd say so. Mm. Imagine all the hand. No.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, now let's crack into it because we've got a great question here and it's time for...
I think she's cheating on me.
It's Relationship Advice with Jace and Mike.
Hi, guys. Couple of questions for you. My wife and I are just about to have our first child. I'm shitting myself, quite frankly. Any tips on how I can keep doing what I want whenever I want? And what's the time frame on intercourse after birth? Mm. How long is too long to wait? Warm regards, Garth. What a great question.
Garth, probably on the Insta.
Yeah, Insta,
We get a lot of messages on our Insta. We've also got the All Talk with Jason Mike at gmail.com, which is getting practically no love.
So
if somebody could just send me through a couple of photos through on there, I'd really appreciate it, because at this point, we might as well just delete that account. Great question.
Because, of course, we've been there, haven't we,
Mike? We have, mate. We have.
Can I just boil it down? Because I feel like, in essence, what Garth is asking us, the very essence of his question is, my wife's having a baby. How soon will it be before I can have sex again?
Yeah.
Well, he does also mention the fact, of course, that he doesn't want to change and he wants to carry on being and doing what he wants to do.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. I mean, these are questions that I think every you know father-to-be that is selfish asks themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, as to the second question, what's the time frame on intercourse after the birth? You can have intercourse immediately following birth.
Yes.
But just not with her.
Precisely.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, you can start laying groundwork for that now.
Absolutely.
You know, if there's anybody that you've had your eye on and thought, oh, if only I wasn't in a relationship, well, you know.
Well, it's interesting, maybe, and I never considered it at the time when my kids were being born, but maybe after the child's born, you go and stay in a hotel room for a couple of days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And have a couple of hand towels on the side of the bed there and just ease your way through it.
Fill your boots.
Yeah, fill your boots. Yeah, as to not changing, well, you know, they do say, Mike, don't they, that once a kid comes into the equation, everything changes.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah.
You know, what I like about this guy is he ain't willing to change,
no.
Man. No, he's going to be the same old wild and crazy Garth.
Garth. Yes.
And I wonder what sort of stuff Garth's getting up to. Obviously, he's...
a few more details would have been good, actually, Garth, in terms of exactly what you'll be carrying on doing not changing.
He's been having sex without contraception, I can tell you that.
Well, that's true.
That's pretty wild. But it is his wife. So they're obviously been trying. I mean, I had my first child at the age of 43, was I? Round about?
Yeah.
Yep. Quite late in life. So to be honest, for me, I was ready for change.
Well, yeah. Well, you were beginning to settle a little. The waters were beginning to calm.
I sort of wasn't going out, you know, as much as I had. I still did a little bit of drinking around the time of the birth.
Yep.
But then that sort of slowed from a flood into a trickle into a drought.
Yeah.
And to be honest, that was the best thing you can do, Jace, because, hangovers and childcare.
Not a good thing.
No bueno.
Well, you see, I started early, Mike. I had my first when I was 24,
Your first root.
My first child, and so I was right into it straight away, mate.
Yeah.
And boy, that was, and I was at the zenith, I guess, of my partying days.
Yeah.
So there were a few sharp shocks coming my way, I can tell you that. And there is nothing worse than a screaming child at 3 o'clock in the morning when you've had a big night, and your wife won't go and tend to the child.
Yeah, I mean, they're lazy.
Yeah.
You know, essentially, I mean, they go, well, I've just gone through major, major surgery.
Yes. I've gone through the most painful experience of my life.
That's right. And you're like, well, I was drinking for 18 hours.
Yeah. I'm hungover to buggery. I can't move.
Exactly. I couldn't be trusted around a toaster, let alone a baby.
Yeah.
But they won't, you know, they won't pick up the slack, man. That's what sort of, it's a bit depressing, you know. It's like, I thought we were in this together.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've had a few beers and where are you?
Exactly.
You know, lying there trying to get to some sleep.
It's no good to anyone in the family if I'm really tired after having a big night on the Terps and I'm massively hungover and I wake up tired and I haven't had a good rest.
Yeah, a great combination is, you know, either drunk or hungover, screaming child, tired wife, and you don't have very much money.
Yes.
And how are we going to pay for the rent?
And boy, oh boy, I can't tell you how many times I've been in that scenario.
Because that's the thing with starting young, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, if you're going to be a young parent and you haven't established yourself in whatever industry you're in.
Yes, you're just starting out.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then there's the other side of it.
You're spending half of your money on piss.
Well, I was just about to say, is the resentment of the fact that you've just been out on the town and spent all the money that you have.
Yeah.
Getting absolutely hammered.
Yeah.
And, you know, your wife's at home struggling with a baby and there's no formula.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? That's not good.
No. No, it's
not
good
because that ever happened to me, Mike. I was always able to put aside money.
She should have set aside some money for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's her lack of budgeting, because you can't do the budgeting because you're pissed.
Yes.
How are you meant to do it?
Exactly.
You know, you've got one eye closed, pushing coins around in your hand, trying to work out if you've got enough money for a cheeseburger at Kenny's on Courtney Place.
Yes.
You know, it's...
the white lady on Queen Street.
Mate, you can't do everything.
No. I mean, you're just trying to you're just trying to get a bit of tuck inside you, aren't you? Bit of food. You can't be worrying about the budget at 3 in the morning.
I know the baby's hungry.
Yes.
But what about Dad?
Poor old Dad. 3 o'clock in the morning, he needs a burger. Trying to count the coins with one eye closed. It's just an absolute nightmare. So, Garth, as Mike has already addressed, I mean, I think go fill your boots.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in terms of change, well...
Mate, you do you.
You just be you.
Yeah, you know?
I think the best thing... Because, I mean, the fact is you're a dad now and she, you know, you've obviously stayed together with your partner. She obviously finds you a very attractive man.
Wife,
yes,
exactly.
Yeah,
they got married, for God's sake.
So, you know, she obviously saw something in you, so don't go changing, Garth. Yeah.
And I said, but the thing is, and there's a softer side to Garth. Yeah, he's shitting himself, quite frankly, he says. Yeah. And, you know, you should be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your life's over.
Well, it is. It is over.
It is. That life is over.
Yes.
The life that you've known, that you've built for yourself, that you've enjoyed, that you've worked so hard to shape, to mold, the people that are in your life. You know, all that's gone. That's out the window.
Absolutely.
You can forget about that. You're making new friends now. If your friends don't have kids, they're gone.
Well, I'm wondering if he's shitting himself purely because of the fact that he realizes the budget's going to be under more strain. You know, that he's thinking, shit, I'm not going to be able to afford to go out on the piss all the time.
Well... Yeah, I mean, the good thing is for at least 12 months, there's going to be breastfeeding.
Yes.
So you don't have to worry about the food on that sort of. That's if the baby takes to the breast. Sometimes they don't.
No.
Might be tongue-tied. Have to be a little operation there.
Yes.
You know, babies love operations.
Don't they?
Yeah. So if they're tongue-tied, then that's going to be an operation. If they're croupy, you know, there's all sorts of reasons why breastfeeding will not happen. So yeah, it's a life changer, mate. It's a game changer. You got to be ready. I mean, do you think, Jace?
Well, I think I want to see how Gareth. Oh no, sorry. What was it? Garth does after the birth, and get back in touch with us, mate, and tell us how it's going. Just be you. Stay you, and as Mike was saying, you can fill your boots on the sexual front as often as you want. And let us know how you get on. But let's get into another chat here.
And I'll just say before we move on, you know, don't be a piece of shit when it comes to sleeping around.
Yeah.
You know, don't, you know, rude his sister or that, you know, or, you know, friend at work or a best friend. Make sure you get hookers.
Okay. Well, you see, that's there you go, Garth. Hey, but I tell you what, I guess this comes under the Jason Mike general chat.
Attention!
It's general chat with Jason Mike. G'day, Jason Mike. Loving the potty. And again, guys, stop calling it that. It's a podcast.
Yeah.
Would have given it stars, but unfortunately I'm a Spotify listener.
Which you can't do, of course.
No, well, yep. You could change over to Apple. I have a conundrum, and that's a great word.
Isn't it?
It is, and we haven't heard that on this podcast before, conundrum, so thanks for that. I'm a small business owner in the dull accounting industry. I'm looking for a new employee, and I've narrowed it down to two people. One is a 25-year-old woman, and one is a 25-year-old male. Both have the exact same skill set. Do you guys have any advice as to which one I choose? I look forward to hearing your words of wisdom. Liam over the Instagram.
Yeah, nice. I'm just curious as to why he's put a star in the 25-year-old woman.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like it's a swear word or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like he can't actually spell the word woman.
Woman.
But it is an interesting conundrum, isn't it?
Mm. Which one of them's got the biggest tits?
Well, you know, it could be. And it, what's the industry? The industry is the accounting industry.
Yeah, it's the dull accounting industry.
Tedious accounting industry.
Yeah, and he says he's a small business owner. Does that mean that he's a business owner and he's really small, Jace?
Yeah, well, I've often wondered that myself, actually. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, and they've got exactly the same skill set.
Same age, same skill set. Now, this is from Liam. So Liam's a bloke. Now, we don't know. I mean, chances are Liam's straight, right?
Yes.
Because it feels...
I feel like what you're intimating here, Mike, is that you're hiring said woman or man on the likelihood of your sexual liaison with either or.
Well, no, actually, yes. I am saying that.
So you're hiring someone to be your lover.
No, what I'm saying is because you're straight, then you should hire the male, and then there's less chance of you have not no chance of you having sex with the male, but less chance of you having sex with the male. So I'm saying because there is a sexual chemistry danger.
If you're a straight male with a heterosexual woman,
that's right.
Yes,
there's a risk there. Then I would go the other direction because the last thing you need is that kind of complication at work, wouldn't you say?
Well, it's an interesting question, isn't it? Because, for example, the woman could be gay.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's not going to be an issue either.
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, but you can't say to the woman when you're interviewing her, are you gay?
Yeah.
Because that's not an appropriate question to ask when you're in the
workplace. How would you ask that question?
Yeah. Are you in a relationship at the moment?
Who's your next of kin? That's always good, you know?
Yeah, that sort of thing. Generally, they don't really... they have the next of kin at 25. It's always your parents, isn't it?
Generally, yeah.
Yeah, so that probably wouldn't help you any.
No.
But I find it interesting... I found it interesting that you've gone down the tack of, you know, hiring something and the potential for a sexual liaison as opposed to what person is going to be doing the best job at my accountancy firm.
But, well, this is the thing, though. You're not going to know because they've got the same skill set. They're the same age. He's not going to know until he hires them. So his issue here is the only thing that is differing, between these two contenders for this role is that they are male and female.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, you know...
What you're saying, because they've got the same skill set, is your approach is to remove any kind of risk.
Well, I think so. But then there's another risk with the male, because I would say if you hired the male and he's a 25-year-old, roughly the same age you were when you had your first child, when you were at the height of your partying ways.
Yes.
Then you risk hiring somebody who is going to be turning up hungover, turning up late, Not turning up at all. Spewing in the toilet, all sorts of characters.
Making a mess of all the accountancy numbers.
And unable to perform the role for which they were hired.
Yes. Though you don't, generally speaking, and this is a massive assumption here, that you don't generally think of accountants as big party animals.
They're big party animals.
Oh, are they?
I know some accountants, and they're huge party animals. I tell you what, it's a toughie.
Yeah, it is a toughie.
Because the trouble is, you hire someone, if they're not the right person, you're stuck with them, man. The way they've got these new workers' rights laid out, you can't fire people. It's got to be
three days, isn't it?
Yeah, three written warnings, two verbals, you name it. And then if you do fire them, I mean, how many times have you seen in the paper somebody getting paid out $50,000 because they told their boss to go and fuck themselves?
Yes.
And then they got fired without any more notice. Now, back in my day, you tell your boss to go and fuck himself,
you're in a world of pain.
You know you don't have to go to work the next
day. You're probably
day.
Paying them $50,000.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's absolutely right. Of course, there's that 90-day period now where you can't do anything.
Yeah.
So you could create absolute fucking havoc and nothing can be done about it, quite frankly.
That's right.
You can warn the ass off them. But, yeah, look, I would go personally for the female.
Right.
Purely because I prefer female company.
Oh.
You know what I mean? I prefer the female energy.
Yeah.
The gentleness of a female.
Sure.
That's not to say that a 25-year-old male can't be gentle and feminine as well.
Oh, God. You know, so how we have to qualify everything,
yeah, exactly.
Don't we?
But I'd go woman. You, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a small business. If it's just me and it's going to be one other person, I'd probably go woman too.
Yeah.
Because I think a male would be more inclined to lead me down the wrong path. But if I'm my age, yeah. I don't know what to do, Jace.
No, it's an interesting one. But let us know what you're going to do,
Well, I'll tell you what. Who did you like more in the interview?
Yes. Oh, yeah, you could do that. You could do that. Garth, who did you like more?
Yeah.
Oh, you could do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a last resort.
Yeah.
Because you've sat down with them in the room, you've got a feel for their energy, you've talked to them, mate, well, you haven't. So I'd go off personality and vibe.
Great call, mate. Mm. Great call. I don't know why we didn't think of that initially.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. Hey, well, that's been fantastic. And I tell you what, make sure you let us know if you tuned into our broadcast of the Black Clash tonight. Mm. It's something that we're kind of dreading but also looking forward to. And keep those letters coming in, Mike, because we love responding. This is why we do the podcast, to help people.
Yeah, that's right.
So make sure you keep that stuff coming in so that we've got something to talk about.
Absolutely.
The next time.
And, you know, and why not for next week's podcast, why don't we have a sort of a Black Clash theme? So if you've got any questions
about... we can talk about Richie and the helicopter.
That's right. Any questions about how we approach it, no doubt we're going to do something wrong tonight.
Oh, there's no question about that.
Yeah, there's going to be some backlash at the Black Clash.
And the interesting thing is, you're one of those characters that loves the backlash.
I love a backlash. I do.
There's more sensitive creatures that don't like the backlash.
There are.
Like, I don't ever read
what
the people on the TVNZ Facebook page say, for example.
Right.
Not in a million years.
Yeah, well, what I've come to learn is that I don't actually really care what people think. No, which has been a good thing, because I used to worry about it. But it's, you can't be everything to everyone.
That's true.
If everybody liked you, you'd probably hate yourself.
You know, and Jeremy Wells once said to me, because I asked him about it, and he said, "Jace, if there's someone I know and I respect, then certainly I'll listen to what they've got to say. But if I don't know them and they're just having a go, I'm not in the..."
Well, that's right. And if you don't like it, it's like this podcast. If you don't like it, you don't have to listen to it.
Exactly.
But, obviously we'd prefer that you did.
Absolutely.
Because we need it for our numbers.
Yes.
So don't stop listening to it.
Hey, we've cracked 50, by the way.
Yeah. No, we're going really good. Actually. And we actually, Jace, we've cracked 300 followers on Instagram.
Oh, that's great, mate.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
It's not quite Kim Kardashian numbers yet.
Well, and also, we haven't been able to combine all the numbers yet.
Oh, no, that's true.
It could be more than that,
mate.
It could
be more.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Hey, but thanks for taking the time to listen to us. We'll be back again next week, of course.
Yeah.
From Mike and myself in the hotel room of Quest Hotel Room in Christchurch. You take care out there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.